We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back here at the 8 o'clock hour, running super late. We're going to have Ira Winterman join us as, guess what? Day two on ESPN, all their morning shows. Should anyone be blamed for Durant's Achilles injury? Oh, my God, let's beat it up. In case you didn't get to it yesterday and have somebody to blame, wake up today and you can blame him. You could still blame him.
MRI results today, another day to talk about this.
Doctors, front office. Yeah,
every show's going to have their doctor on.
Fans, media. By the way, that's a new one, blaming the fans and media for a guy, whether he plays or not in a game. If we ever get to the point where fans are affecting whether a guy plays or not, or play calling, or anything a coach does, you're asking to lose your job. You really are. You ever get to that point where some guy writes an article, an opinion article.
You think the GM looks at that article and goes, oh, man, we got to play that guy. Look what the media's saying about
Kevin
this.
Hey, Kevin Durant's worried about his contract. He's skipping. You're not a doctor. You don't know that. How do you know that? How do you know how bad it is? Now you feel. Are you going to write something? You ripped. There were some articles that got in Kevin Durant. He's worried about his contract. There's got to be people. There's people in the organization are questioning whether he could play or not. Now, I don't know if that's true, if there was actually people that were telling media guys, hey, yeah, we're kind of pissed at Kevin over there. But how do they all feel now? Are they going to do any follow-up articles like, hey, Kevin was right. We want to apologize. I wrote that article. But anyway, that's where we are. And by the way, if you're wondering why you heard that HBO Hard Knocks music to open the show, John Gruden and the Raiders will have Hard Knocks on HBO. So football season kicks off. The Raiders will take it. By the way, probably second favorite choice for somebody to do, and that's just because Cleveland can't have it 2 years in a row. But that's a good one. I like that. Mike Mayock,
yep.
Antonio Brown. There'll be a lot of John Gruden, Richie Incognito, Vontaze. You got a lot of good people that will make that up.
Antonio Brown tweeted out yesterday, it's a hard knock life for us. And then the next one was get your popcorn ready. These guys can be ready for that.
Hey,
loves the camera and loves the attention, man.
Going through, yep. They got 3 first round pick rookies on that team. It'll be good. It should be fun. It'll be good. You got to have the right teams do it. By the way, we were talking about the worst one. I think the Atlanta Falcons was the worst one.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, right?
Atlanta Falcons. They had a few fights, but outside of that, it was just kept all the drama out. Tampa Bay's was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, that was good.
I like Tampa Bay's. Uh-huh. Cutting guys are calling in the kicker from FSU.
That's right. I forgot all about that.
How did a guy become such one of the greatest college kickers I've ever seen?
I don't think he missed a kick in college. Right? He missed one
maybe. Might have his last year, but the 1 year, my God, he was just splitting the uprights from 60 yards.
What happens when you get to the pros? You just forget a kick?
No. You know what happens? When you miss a big kick in a game, the demons kick in, and they never completely leave unless you're a special, special kicker. Look what's happened. We had the guy down here, kicks great. Bears give him a ton of money over a 3 or 4 year period. He makes it 1 year. Parkey.
That was a nice contract.
Never. Yep. We had a guy out of Cardinal Gibbons High School that kicked for Minnesota, missed it. He's never the same guy. Now he's slowly coming back. I think he's kicking for Seattle now, maybe. But there's a lot of guys, man, that they miss one. It ain't like dropping a ball.
Affects you forever.
Affects guys, and, you know, here we go, another big kick. And
the yips.
So when you get one of those special guys that if they miss it and the next thing you know they make the next 12, that you're going like, hey, that ain't going to affect me, whether it's coming out of Baltimore or New England or any of your other favorite places where the kickers are really, really good. It's a different deal. By the way, I want to thank Butch Davis for coming on, man. I thought that UCF thing, by the way, the most pathetic thing UCF's done, and I give him credit for all the wins. I think they got a really good program and what they've been able to do over the last few years. You go undefeated, it's, you know, what they were able to do for the two-year period was amazing. But putting up national champion,
it's really petty
on their stadium. It's just, I'd rather you put how many games you won in a row, because it's
sure,
really
streak,
impressive,
yes.
Really, really impressive. But put national champion up there.
Joe, they had a parade for winning the national championship.
I know you want to do something for your team because you're undefeated and you didn't, and you may disagree and all that. And
do the players really think that they're national champions? Like, do they go around?
If they
around
do,
saying,
they're pretty stupid.
Like, I
just glad
understand.
You guys are starting to realize what's going on over there.
Well, I'm just a little down.
I've been telling you for a while.
I'm a little down on that AD. He's a clown. The head coach who we drafted down here, just not a huge fan, but they've done a great job. I give credit as far as the football goes. They've done a really good job. They've recruited well down here. They've done a lot of good things for not being in a Power Five. They're one of the best.
Yeah.
Right now, they're one of the best schools in the country outside of the Power Five. Outside of the Power Five schools.
But why not take the bigger teams
well,
on the schedule? They
would love to get in the Power Five. I don't know why they didn't take that deal.
I just don't understand.
I would have taken that deal with the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
Play us twice in Gainesville. We'll play you once at UCF. I don't know why they wouldn't take that.
I mean,
I have no idea.
UCF, think about just the win in the Swamp. If you could win in the Swamp.
Hey, there's a lot of schools that wouldn't even make that offer because UCF beat you and you're going, oh no, we just
don't. You don't
want
to lose. You got everything to lose. Yeah, exactly.
You get Boise State up, man. Right?
You don't want that. And that's why I can understand some schools not even offering it. But if Florida threw it out there and UCF said, nah, if we're not doing even, we don't want it. Like, I understand UCF's on one hell of a streak right now or have had a couple years that are just really, really good. But why not take it? Why? I mean, didn't South Florida just take a 2-1 with a couple schools?
Yeah, it took like 10 of them.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Hey,
that's
nothing
it.
Against
but
you.
You should look at UCF's schedule.
No, I don't
want to
hear about South
years,
Florida.
Though.
South Florida got nothing in common with UCF. UCF so much better in South Florida in football. Stop it.
Yeah, over the last 2 years, they have been, Joe.
That's
right. That's real, real bold of you to say.
But that's it.
Bold. I want to hear about your USF stuff. I don't. I
no,
wish you wouldn't even
look at UCF's schedule over the last 2 years. Who have they played? They don't play anyone. They have one win over an SEC team in a bowl game. The SEC team wasn't even there to play.
But the underlining point is the fact that a smaller school should
always
take the bigger
ones. Why you always got nitpick when somebody gets a win? Like,
I'm not
what do you mean?
Anything,
they checked out.
Their signature
they weren't
wins
into
are
it.
Over mid-level ACC schools.
They didn't even get to play North Carolina, right? That game got rained out or the
yeah,
hurricane?
No, they did. They're right.
They had that one on the schedule.
Probably beaten them, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have. But just why wouldn't you take those
games?
They
beat Pitt. Pitt was their signature win last year.
Pitt that represented the Coastal Division in the Clemson game.
That was ugly.
That was by far and away their best win last year against Pittsburgh.
They should have just put UCF against Clemson in the ACC Championship game.
They want to play tougher. You see, they want to play better schools.
Yeah.
They want to play, but they want to make sure they want to be treated like,
even,
like the top
like
schools.
Fair.
They want 1-1s.
No, you can't do that.
We're not doing a 1-1. I don't know why you wouldn't take it. Gainesville to Orlando.
We're talking about a 90-minute drive. We're talking about really, I mean, I understand it's in Gainesville, the game, but you could get a humongous contingent of fans to take that 90-minute drive to go to the Swamp. Like, take it. Take the game. Beat Florida at Florida. Go to Florida State. Beat Florida State.
I don't
think
there's a lot of schools that want to play UCF.
Yeah, so when you get
would
offered.
Would you agree with that, Hollywood?
Probably not.
Well, Joe, obviously they're getting offers. I think there's schools that will do
see, there
he
goes.
One.
You know what? I'm done with you. I just asked you a very simple question.
No, they're too good. I do agree. You're right, Joe. They're just way too good. Nobody wants to play them. They're scary.
I think there's certain schools in the Power Five that don't want to play
them. They don't
them.
Want to have the chance of losing to them.
They beat a lot of schools in the Power Five.
Probably.
You do know that, right? Or you
well,
don't
no,
know
all
that.
The American
you
schools
know
are
I'm
bad
done with
except
you.
For UCF.
You know what?
You're,
stop.
You're correct.
You're just so
they're
full
all
of
terrible except for UCF. You're right. And I think everyone is very, very scared to play them. I do agree with you.
Is that sarcasm? Is
no, you're right. All the schools in the American suck except for UCF. They're great. They have that huge win over Pittsburgh last year. They get Pitt again this year.
Oh, this
so
is
that
sarcasm. I just had to hear it
to,
again.
Did you have to
well, no, they
really
get Pitt, they get Pitt
twice?
Again this year, so they have a huge matchup on their schedule with Pitt.
You got mad because I took a shot at South Florida.
That's no, it. I mean, it's fine. If you
go
you
up
think
there
terrible,
and go up there,
you
have your little
so
alumni function. They'll have a little burger get together for all the alumni. Make sure you show up at that one. That was such a big hit down here at Bow Campers. All 12 of you showed up.
There's more than 12, right?
Is there any school you're not ripping this morning, or is it just all in on everyone?
No,
is there anyone that's okay?
Like I brought
UCF
up what UCF
sucks,
did.
USF sucks. Like, who doesn't
I didn't,
suck?
I didn't say UCF
you did.
Sucks.
You ripped their coach. You ripped their AD, their
I
schedule.
Did.
Oh, that's
I didn't
different.
Rip that
that's
other
different.
Part. Yeah. You just hear what you want to hear. Someday, Hollywood, we're going to get him. We're going to get him, Zach.
I don't think so.
We got
to
let
nothing gets to this guy.
Ira Winderman, heat writer for the Sun Sentinel, will join us. Let me see if he wants to play the blame game today.
Oh, he'll have someone
to
blame.
Ira's ready to play the blame game
yeah,
right
he'll
now.
He'll have someone to blame.
Joe, there is somebody to blame.
Who?
I don't know. Want to see if Ira thought maybe he was holding out because he's worried about his didn't want to play because of his free agency coming up.
It's out there. There's about 12 different articles of who to blame, Joe.
Yeah. All right. Well,
pick and choose.
We got to go to break here. We got to get all caught up here. Got a lot of stuff to catch on. Ira will join us in a second. And then we have a Killer Bee on in the 8 o'clock.
I'm excited.
Hour. Killer
I like
Bee.
That.
You've seen the Killer Bee poster.
It's great.
We got the Killer Bee poster out, right, Woody? All right, we got that. He gave me a thumbs up. He's miserable son of a gun. Miserable son of a gun back there. Hey, I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries. Boy, we've been talking about sports-related injuries this morning.
That's a great transition.
Holy smokes, have we been talking. Huh? Oh, boy. Well, listen, I always say this. When people ask me where do the pros go down here, I go, well, the Dolphins, Heat, and the Panthers. They trust Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Yes, those teams have a lot of choices, but they've decided to go with Doctors Uribe and Yagnik and Vijak and Heckman and Selznick. They said, we'll put their reputation against any doctors in town here that will take care of high school, college, professional athletes, and people like me who always get hurt playing tennis. I get hurt playing tennis more than I ever did when I played.
Radio.com.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Bring on Ira Winderman. He's powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Well, I'm good, but I listened to the previous segment, so I think I'm going to get into an argument, fellas.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. You're ready to go. Who are you blaming? Because everybody's blaming somebody.
I think that the media and all these debate shows fuel things like this, and I blame a player's agent and handlers for letting players listen and get involved in this nonsense. How many times have you seen, whether it's Stephen A. or Skip Bayless or these other geniuses who come up with their theories, they rail on a player, the player then goes on their show and has to defend himself and makes and legitimizes all of this nonstop yelling and theorizing as opposed to just not paying attention. If Kevin Durant didn't pay attention to social media and talk shows, no offense to you guys, and just the people who always have to opine and bloviate, I don't think he would have come back and play. I think he let it affect him too much. Oh, they're calling me soft. They're saying I'm not pushing through injury. I'm not a real man. That's when his agent or someone has to step forward and says, I don't want you on social media. I don't want you listening. I think that's what contributed to this. I think Kevin Durant and anyone has to turn a deaf ear and understand they're the professional, that their body is their vessel, and they have to take care of their career. I blame Kevin Durant for allowing all the bloviators out there to sway his opinion on what he should do and whether he should rush back.
All right, so I do disagree with you. I'm going to go above that before we talk about that. Let's go to the doctors. At some point, there's only one group that knows that's looked and seen a zillion of these, and that group that got a chance to look at his calf and knew what the risk might be down the road. Those doctors told him and had to give him a green light that he could play, and he worked off that. Would you agree?
I agree. Joe, this, as you know this, because you've been through this, none of the current people, by the way, but you know the whole issue of team doctors and who are team doctors working for and what is their ultimate goal. But I'm going to turn this a little bit different direction. So the old school thought was this. Team doctors work for the team if they want to keep that contract that they tell the player to go play. That's been the old thought, and that's why, and Joe, you know this.
That was the old way, but I don't think it's the new way now. I think there's outside, you get outside second, third, or fourth opinions.
And I'll give you a perfect example. Our team doctor here, and I'm putting this in the good light, Harlan Selznick so often sees players from other teams who so respect him that they say to their team, hey, I'm going down to Miami. I want to get a second opinion, and I think that's smart. Here's the other part of it, though.
Okay.
The Warriors are risking losing Kevin Durant this offseason. I think this is the opposite case. I think this is, well, we don't want Kevin to get angry at our team. We don't want to be the ones to stop them from playing. Think how ugly the Chris Bosh situation was when the Heat said, absolutely not. With your blood clots, you can't play. And, Joe, you remember this. You remember through back channels how Chris Bosh was so angry at the Heat and was looking for other doctors. And it got very personal even with the Heat medical staff because the Heat said no. What if that player was an impending free agent? And what if those doctors thought, I don't want to be the one to keep him from possibly signing back. I don't want him to think that our medical staff is not going to let him do what he wants to do. I think that created the uncomfortable situation. I think the whole situation with team doctors can go both ways. I think it might have been a case, not laying blame here, where maybe a medical staff person thought, you know what? I don't want to be the guy who's going to get him so angry at the team for not letting him play at the finals that when he makes his free agent decision, he says, those guys didn't have my back. They wouldn't let me do what I want to do. I think that's how twisted this whole thing became.
Wow. So if you became Dr. Winderman overnight and you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, do you think that one had to do with the other? The first injury had to do with the second one?
I don't see how not for this reason. Do you remember when he first suffered the injury against Houston, how Reggie Miller immediately came out and said, that's an Achilles? And we all rip Reggie Miller. You're not a doctor. You didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. And they're saying it was the calf or, you know, or something else. It just seems too related body parts-wise. And as Joe knows, you always hear this term compensation injury. So you never know if you're running at a different gait, if you're even practicing. Think about this. Kevin Durant had an injury that was a 3 to 6 week injury. He came back after 5 weeks. Well, you know what, guys? Maybe it was a 6 week injury, and during those 5 weeks, as he tried to work his way back, he compensated and overcompensated in a way that possibly weakened another muscle, another joint, another tendon, something like that also. I mean, it might have been a case for other players where if this happened, let's say, in December, and you said it was a 3 to 6 week injury, and the Heat do this all the time, they would just say, it's a 6 week injury, we're not taking a chance. But the stakes rose so much. They got to the finals. They got to a finals deficit. I think the pressure of the situation factored in. That's why I go back to my original thought. And now people are talking basketball more than ever when there's only two teams playing and only, you know, 10, 12 players really involved in the equation, that I think the noise got too loud. I think that's when agents have to pull players aside, like LeBron does when he calls it zero dark 30 in the playoffs. No social media, no television, just the task at hand. The task at hand for Kevin Durant was rehabbing, not listening to what the nutcases and nut jobs out there were bloviating about, because that's what they get paid to do.
Hey, Ira, saying all that, Kevin Durant is going to get max contracts from so many same teams. They're still going after him, knowing they're going to have to pick up 1 year unless some team goes deep into the playoffs and maybe he's able to come back next year. So, I feel like we're almost talking about a guy that's dying or something with this. Like, he's going to make out in the big picture. He's going to come back. A lot of people come back from Achilles and ACLs and everything else, man. Technology, and these doctors are pretty damn good now.
Yes, I agree with you on the money. When I spoke to someone in the NBA about LeBron James and said, why is he risking these one-and-one contracts in Cleveland and leaving so much money on the table? And I was told, LeBron can tear his ACL and he still is going to get a max contract from someone anyway. That's what these teams do. So you're right. Kevin Durant has two options. He has a player option for next year at $31.5 million. He could just take that, rehab, and come back. But a team will offer him that four-year max deal at $160, $180, $190 anyway and say, you know what? The average for Achilles tears has been 10 months. So if you do the math even from now, you're talking about a player who's going to be able to come back midway through next season. If they're a playoff contender, that's fine. The older players, the Kobes, the Patrick Ewing, the Elgin Baylor at 36, when it really ends their career, is one thing. Kevin Durant's 29. You're right. He's going to get his money. Some team is going to pay 4 years of money for 3 years of play, so it didn't affect his free agency. But there's no guarantee you come back as the same player. And we've never had a seven-foot jump shooter like Kevin Durant out there also with a different body type. So it is a factor. There is a chance, small chance. Like you said, Joe, with modern medicine, maybe 10, 20% chance he's never the same player. But there is a chance. I think that's why people feel this sympathy and feel bad for him right now.
Do you think he's going to take this out on Golden State and sign somewhere else because he doesn't trust them anymore, especially if it's the doctor thing?
I think, you know, it could almost be the opposite. It almost could be my job didn't get finished here. Here's what changed. When, I don't know if you guys were watching live or saw the replay after when Bob Myers, the GM, did his sit-down almost with in tears. But Joe, that works. And I think for the first time, Kevin Durant might sit there and go, they love me. They really love me. I think the emotional bond that he wanted with them. Look, the Warriors until that game on Monday were the Splash Brothers plus Draymond Green and this interloper, Kevin Durant, who came in to win championships. But now they love him. Now they cried about him. I think that could impact the situation. I would have told you he was 90% gone, Knicks, Nets, somewhere else anyway. Now I think the emotional bond coming back. Joe, if they win a championship for Kevin Durant, and in the next 5 days, all we hear is we're doing it for KD, and they all go out in the championship parade, and every player wears a Kevin Durant uniform. Joe, you know the ego of players. Joe, don't you think the ego of players, that could have an impact?
Yeah, I think with Kevin Durant, I think he's a little different than some of the other guys. I do agree with you. He's affected. I'm really curious. It's going to be, by the way, this just adds up to all the fun for everything that's going to be taking place after this NBA draft.
It is
going to be the AD situation now saying he prefers the Knicks and Lakers. Do they cave in that, or do they still go with the best offer out there and go, screw you, AD? The whole thing's going to be awesome.
And again, if KD doesn't leave, and if Kawhi is content, and all of a sudden there's Kyrie Irving and no other A-list free agent, look, we all thought that on July 1st, or actually this year, it's 6 p.m. June 30th, it would be about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Kawhi Leonard. What if it's only about Kyrie Irving? And what about the second biggest name we're talking about all of a sudden is Kemba Walker or Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris? Everything could change also. The given that it was going to be so many big players, you just sort of never know till you get to that moment. My other question is this. If the Anthony Davis deal is done ahead of free agency and the Knicks pull it off and they send the number three pick and another combination of players, does Kevin Durant want to go to a New York team when clearly Anthony Davis is the face of the future there? If all the questions about KD were, well, you just joined a bunch of winners and jumped on to get rings, now it's going to be, well, you're just jumping on to join Anthony Davis. And matter of fact, I'll ask you guys this. If you're the Knicks and you get Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant, who are you promoting more? Who's the face and future of that franchise?
The two-headed monster.
I love those guys. He's got his money. He wants his rings. Do you think he really cares about whether you're the man or you're the co-man or you're the second man? Is it Steph? Is it Kevin? Is it Clay and Steph versus? I mean,
Steph took a backseat when KD.
You seem to really think he's really affected by all that. I don't know if he's that affected.
No, I think this is the one sport where you're more of a singular athlete than anywhere. You can make an argument with pitcher in baseball, but this league has always been marketed about the stars. You know, the NFL, we're a team. The NHL, we all grow beards together. We're in this together. The NBA is about your sneaker deal. It's about you getting the biggest contract and being the man. This is such an egotistical league when only five guys play at a time.
We all have
one
that
guy can be the star.
Ira, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
See you later, bud. Bye-bye.
All right. Ira Winderman joining us and talk a little bit about we love the blame game in sport. Who can we blame, man? Who can we get after? By the way, one of the favorite parts of the Miami Dolphins in all the history, that kind of the no-name defense and the killer bees, right?
Yes, of course.
We got one of the killer bees,
I'm
man,
excited.
Coming on. We got the
excited.
Picture up on social media. We got the killer bees. Which killer bee? I'm not gonna tell you.
I'm not gonna tell you, bro.
Don't tease me, bro.
It's gonna be a secret.
We got one of the killer bees coming on, and we're gonna get into some killer bee life. Because
you could almost say that one of those guys is like
seven. Was there seven bees of the 11 starters were bees? Their name started with B. Do you know them all? I actually did not know them all. There was one I didn't know.
Are both Blackwoods counting that? That might have been drugs.
I can't remember. It might have been
both
drugs.
Both Blackwoods counting that?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm just trying. So those are two. Bo, you got Brzezinski is four. So I got four so far. I'm missing.
Dewey's not B.
Dewey's not a B. Correct. That's good. That's well done. I don't know if I was going
to
say Bowie.
Hey, man, let's go. We got to go to break so we can get in. Bill Arnsberger defense is actually, I've heard all these guys say.
That's a B.
Bill Arnsberger's defenses and the creative stuff this genius did in the 80s is the same kind of stuff the Coach Flores wants to do. Well, I want to talk about.
Leaving up bees to do killer bees again?
We got one bee. We only need one bee to tell us about it. Okay, are you done with the bee stuff?
I'm done with the bee stuff.
Can I go to the Z stuff? You think they made any money on those posters?
Bzzz. Yeah, probably a little bit.
All right, we'll go to that next. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota.
Keep your ass out of the end zone.
Of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe, you were teasing us. You going to let me know who it is?
The Killer Bee.
One of the Killer Bees?
Outside linebacker Bob Brzezinski joining us.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Hey, Jamal, Zach, how you guys?
I hope you got a bag of your wings for us right now. That's what I want right now.
Joe wouldn't let me come down.
Are you kidding me? I would have picked you up.
He lives way up.
Picked him up if I knew I was getting 20 of those bruised wings.
You are getting towards we start thinking about food. We used to talk about sex all the time, and now it's all food, bro.
That's right.
Yeah, it's gotten real bad.
Yeah, I know that's
Hey, bro, the Killer Bee posters. I was looking last night, and they're still all over. I've been to a couple places. You probably got a couple of them up in the Brews Room around South Florida. Did you guys make any money on the Killer Bee posters when you guys were all hot?
You kidding? Hell, the NFL got a hold of that and said we couldn't trademark it or anything like that. They squashed it real quick.
Oh, man.
So what'd you guys do with the few that were out there?
We got a few around. I know I was out in Montana, saw Doug Betters, and he's got a few. And I don't know if some of the other guys got them, but hell, yeah. There's a few around, but not that many.
Yeah, I know. Seeing you guys in those, like, childish outfits is just beautiful, man.
when we were shooting one of them, Lyle or Glenn was hanging from the goalposts out there at the practice facility, and the damn I was hanging from a wire, and the damn wire broke, and he fell down and damn near hurt himself.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare.
Hey, I do want to ask you. You play for Bill Arnsberger, and it's so funny because I always hear all you guys say he was way ahead of his time with the creative stuff. The bend but don't break, and you guys were unbelievable red zone defense. Just kept people out of the end zone. You'd let them kick field goals all day. What did Bill do that was so special? Because they're talking about Brian Flores and the Belichick stuff being a lot of that same stuff. What was the key to it?
Yeah, he used to put new stuff in, and he used to have fake. You know how the offense is. The defense is always worried about what the offense is putting in and game plans.
Right.
He used to try to switch it around, and he would try to figure out and how to make the offense think about what the hell we're doing.
Right.
Just different teams, different blitzes and things like that. You know, like he put Bogo in. I don't remember if you remember what Bogo was. It was Bo Camper going up. And getting the offensive tackle, grabbing him for like a second or so the outside linebacker could blitz free.
Yeah.
And then Ball would drop back off on pass defense. And, hell, I see a lot of colleges. And
right, they're all doing that, yeah.
And we were in Baltimore, and A.J. got hurt, pulled a hamstring right in right before the game in warmups. And we play a 3-4 defense, three defensive linemen and four outside line, four linebackers. He went and put in right before the game. We got the chalkboard out, and he put a 3-4. He put a 4-3 defense in. We put
just that quickly.
Three linebackers, and we kicked their ass. I don't know if it's the Jets or the Baltimore, one of the two, but. I just remember that.
Yeah, just shorthanded. I remember that. We were shorthanded, and he just changed things. You know, you guys, I just remember this, too. No mental mistakes. And you son of a guns could hide what defense. You guys were like all like you guys were into drama and acting because you guys could give it one look, and at the last second, as that quarterback's dropping back, he's like, what the hell did they just do? Yeah. I just thought you guys hit stuff really well.
Yeah, with the Blackwood brothers and AJ in the middle and stuff like that. And the defensive linemen, that's all they did was talk. Bo and Betters and Bob Howard, that's all they taught him. And like I said, with the Blackwood brothers, they were like the generals of the whole defense and calling the plays and all that and the audibles and all that. So. Yeah. We had a pretty good bunch of smart guys, I would say, and didn't make mistakes.
Had a lot of first-round picks on that defense,
yes,
too.
Like,
for everybody thinks it was just a bunch of dudes that we just picked up off the street. That was a really talented group. So I get this all the time. Matter of fact, we got it this week, and that's why I thought of you. So everybody goes, yeah, Jet fans, it happens. I swear to God it happens once every couple weeks. Somebody will say, yeah, when you played the Jets in the AFC Championship game in the Orange Bowl, Shula purposely didn't put that tarp on and flooded the damn field so you could slow Wesley Walker down because you couldn't cover him. Did Don Shula, are we buying that? Did Don Shula call the city and said, don't put the tarp on this game. Let's just flood him down. You think that happened or no?
Might have been one of those tarps that didn't hold water.
Paper tarp? That's what it was, yeah. Paper tarp. Yeah, that's the one that always comes out. I got a question for you. Brew, Hard Knocks is on all the time, every year, and they pick a team. How would your early 80s Miami Dolphins team do on that Hard Knocks show? And who do you think would get in the most trouble? I know, I can already hear it in your voice. Who's getting in the most trouble, you think?
With all the pranks and everything these guys used to do, I think it would have been more of a comedy show than anything else.
Lyle and Glenn Blackwood had to star. Lyle Blackwood.
Who's the one who put the Ben Gay in the cake?
That was Lyle and Glenn Blackwood that got Kozlowski sick and puking on that cake, that birthday cake.
Did you have a piece of that, Brew, or did you stay away from that cake?
No, hell, we – that was when the special teams guys used to have to stay out in the field a little bit longer. It gave those guys a little chance to do their little pranks and stuff. He was either in Baltimore or when he was Cincinnati, but that paraffin wax that you put your hands in and stuff like that. He used to put donuts in that stuff and have the guys eat. The guys wouldn't even know it. They were eating paraffin wax and donuts, make it look like a glazed donut.
Oh my God!
No, and I believe it was Lyle Blackwood that put the Bengay, that big thing of Bengay that we used to, to warm your body up, into jocks in the morning.
Oh.
We used to wear jocks.
Yeah, poor Robert Sowell.
Oh, poor God bless Robert Sowell, no longer with us. That's one of the greatest. That is the greatest prank. I tell that story. But, of course, you can't say what he said running out of the room as Shula's talking and telling us what the day's going to look like. And Robert Sowell went running out of there. I believe Lyle got fined for that. I think he got.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think he got called in Shula's office afterwards and
Shula ass chewing. Those were classics. By the way, we've all had Shula ass chewings. I've admitted, he got tears in my – he ripped me bad enough where I got little tears in my eye. I didn't cry. I just got a little
teared up a little.
Did he ever get you, Brew, that bad? Did the shoes ever just – you got outside containment. Christ, what are you doing? Get outside. Did you ever get one of those?
You know what? You're mad – when you make a mistake, you're mad enough. And he would say, hey, Bob, come here, if you're still on the field. I just waved my hand at him.
You know what's coming.
When I got off the field, then he could he could yell at me. But, that's the way it goes.
Oh, my God. Brew, did you guys have meetings back in the 80s about how you guys are going to survive the restaurant world? Because most people don't.
That's crazy.
And I feel like, I mean, I don't know, not all the killer bees, not all you guys have, you know, restaurants. But
a bunch
of you do. And I always talk to Joe about it because we always say if we ever opened up a Big Dog sports bar, it would be closed down in a week because Joe would just give out free food for
a week.
It'd
be filed bankruptcy.
And it'd be bankrupt.
Yeah.
But, man, Bo, all these, Bomb Howard, like you guys all have these, you know, restaurants and multiple. How the hell did you guys come up with a plan in the 80s? How'd this work out?
I don't know. It's the craziest business to be in, but we've been lucky. Got good people to work for us and things like that. We've just been lucky to survive this long. Yeah, it's been 30 years for me this year. So
Wow. Brew's Room's been around for 30 years.
89, my last year we played before I retired. Yeah.
Hey, Brew, can I ask you?
Wow.
You ever date any of the help? Did you ever date any of the help through any other shares?
I was dating the girlfriend I have now. She used to work for me. Then I fired her.
You did. You fired her.
Oh, man.
You fired her so you didn't feel so guilty.
Good for you,
bro.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. No fraternization, right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, bro, real quickly. Can you name the seven killer bees on that poster?
Sure.
Let's go.
You can either put a couple more. You could put Charlie Bowser in. You could put Bo. You got Bo. You got Bama. You know, Bumhauer. You got Betters. Myself on the front line.
Right.
Then you could also have. You got the two Blackwood brothers, and you got Mark Brown was there.
That's right. Oh, you're good. God, you're good. That's good. People forget about Mark Brown, man. That's a good one. Charlie Bowser. People forget about Charlie. That was a good group though, man. That was those were fun times, and I just love all those.
Love the stories.
We got to run. What was he like? You around Bill? He's always seemed to be nice to me. Well, as long as I was running scout team hard, he didn't like that when you're jogging through stuff on defensive day. But what was he like as a coach?
He were always prepared. Going through phones, the game plans, everything. He was just remarkable. You know, I've had some good defensive coordinators and things like that through my whole career in college and pro, and even out in L.A. when I was out there, had a couple good ones. But man,
nothing like that guy, huh? Yeah,
unbelievable.
Brew, it's good talking to you, man. You opened up a little bit today. We didn't hit you up for free food.
I did. I thought it was good overall.
So thank you very much, brother. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, Joe, Zach. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too, Brew.
All right. Bob Brzezinski, former Miami Dolphins outside linebacker and owner of Brews. All these years.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. Unbelievable. We got to get back to 9 o'clock. We need to go back in time.
I like it.
We had to go back
in
time a little bit. And it's so – how funny is that he remembers the same pranks?
Like I know.
A zillion years later that I do. Robert Sowell putting on that stinking jock, and he didn't know that Lyle had loaded that thing up with Ben Gay because the stuff was always kind of wet the next day. Those guys never got your stuff completely dry.
Oh, nice.
Those guys in the back equipment room. Bob,
did you piss off both Blackwood brothers, or maybe we can get them on it, you know, at some point?
They're hard. I tell you what, Lyle's the prankster of the two.
That's all I want.
But Glenn's got all the good stories.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.